Welcome to our service for the Feast of the Baptism of Christ. May I begin by wishing a Happy New Year to those of you whom I haven't seen so far this year. People think of New Year as a time for resolutions, which I'm sure is a good thing, but I always think of it too as a time to count our blessings. And this year, we probably need to do that more than ever.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done.
People from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to John and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word and deed, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for the Feast of the Baptism of Christ. Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, grant to us, who are born again by water and the Spirit, that we may be faithful to our calling as your adopted children, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 7. Beginning at verse 5. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. They fasted that day and said, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, and pray that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty voice that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as beyond Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshanah, and named it Ebenezer, which means stone of help, for he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Darlleniad o Efengyl Marc. Ymddangosodd Ioan fedyddiwr yn yr Anialwch yn cyhoeddi bedi ddedifeirwch yn fyddion maddeiant pechodau. Ac roedd holl wlad Judea a holl drigolion Jerusalem yn mynd allan ato ac yn cael eu bedyddio ganddo yn Afon Iorddonyn gan gyffesu eu pechodau. Yr oedd Ioan wedi ei wisgo mewn dillad o flew camel a gwregis o groen oedd am ei ganol a locustiaid a mel gwyllt oedd ei fwyd. A dyma i genadwri, y mae ein cryfach na mi yn dod ar fôl i. Nid oedd fi'n deilwng i blygu a datod carau a'i sandalau ef. A dŵr y bedyddiais i chi, ond ar ysbryd glân y bydd ef yn eich bedyddio. Yn y dyddiau hynny, daeth Iesu o Nazareth Galilea, a bedyddiwyd ef yn Afon Iorddonyn gan Ioan. Ac yna wrth iddo godi allan o'r dŵr, gwelodd y nefoedd yn rhwygon agored a'r ysbryd fel colomen yn disgyn arno. A daeth llais o'r nefoedd, "Ti yw fy mab, yr anwylid, yno ti yr wyf yn ymhyfrydu."
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. All through this year, we've tried in these services to keep some sense of perspective by looking on the bright side of things. The decision we've had to take to close down our services again in church has been a heavy blow, which seems at odds with the promise of the new year. But somehow I knew, as I sat down to plan this service, that it was more important than ever that it should be full of thanks and praise. I knew that I wanted to mark the turn of the year by that reading from 1 Samuel. Here we set our Ebenezer, in Hebrew, the stone of help. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. At the turn of the year, I always like to look back over the past 12 months with Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 as my guide. In that verse, Paul is signing off in his letter to the Christians in Philippi, but Paul being Paul, it takes him a bit longer than it might take you and me. When Paul says finally, he usually means semi-finally. And indeed, the first finally in Philippians is a whole chapter before this. But still, I've always loved what he says in chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I like to look back over the past year and think what has happened in it that meets these criteria. What can I think of, either in my personal life, or in family and friends, or in the wider world, that was excellent, commendable, worthy of praise, honourable, pure? But why would you do such a thing? Why does Paul recommend this to the Philippians as he says goodbye to them? Well, the first reason might be to cheer them up. Philippians is probably my favourite of the Pauline epistles, but it is written from prison, probably a prison in Rome. It has a serenity and depth which you rarely meet with in Paul or indeed any other writer. Just before 4:8, Paul has said this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone." There is a gentleness about the epistle as Paul addresses these people who are clearly very dear to him. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters," he says to them, "my joy and my crown, my beloved." In his prison cell, it cheers him up just to think of them. And he believes that it will help them to rejoice if they think on things that are excellent and worthy of praise. It will cheer them up. The second reason why you might want to concentrate on the lovely things is a more spiritual one. Paul's hope is that these new Christians will become like what they think about, what they focus on, that they themselves will grow into better people, better disciples, if they focus on good examples, more commendable, more truthful, more honourable, and so on. I've shared with you before, I think, that one of the problems for these newly converted Gentile Christians was that they did not now have a strong body of moral teaching which they could call on as they tried to live lives worthy of their new life in Jesus. The Jewish faith, with its strong principles of holiness, justice, and righteousness, was not part of their cultural background. There were, of course, principles of right living in the Gentile world, as there always have been in all cultures, but nothing really like the deep personal holiness of Judaism, with the additional Christian requirements of love and forgiveness, which their new faith demanded. Now you might think, especially after the year we've just had, that this idea of focusing on things that are lovely is a bit Pollyanna-ish, unduly and unrealistically optimistic, in the context of a year which has been essentially ugly and difficult, with a great deal of pain and suffering, fear and grief. But what I find, if I try to think about the things that have been worthy of praise, is that many of them are born precisely out of that pain. Paul uses a word we wouldn't often use nowadays. He talks about purity. Whatever is pure, he says, think about that. What we find, if we try to focus on the things that are pure, that are excellent and worthy of praise, is that purity is often a quality distilled out of suffering. Think, for example, about Marcus Rashford, the footballer who respectfully and determinedly set about ensuring that where families are in the situation which his family was when he was young, only with their situation made worse by the pandemic, he set about assuring that they would have the support of the free school meals which were vital to his mother. Suddenly, all the trappings of his wealth and fame fall away, even our admiration of his prodigious talent, and we see instead a young man acting out of the love and respect he has for his mother. There is indeed a purity, a humility, a simplicity about it. "If there's anything worthy of praise," says Paul, "think about these things." Again, if there's one picture, one face from this year which I will never forget, It will be the calm and determined face of a black Englishman, Patrick Hutchinson, as he carried a man who was probably some kind of white supremacist to safety, away from the threat of an angry crowd. You could, of course, remember a different face. You could remember the face of a white policeman, with his knee on a black man's neck. But Hutchinson refused to look at that. "That's not what we do," he shouted. You can look at the dark side of humanity, at all the external evil which drives Jesus to the cross, or you can look at the grace and love of God which drives him from the inside. "Whatever is true and honourable," writes Paul. Think about these things. Of course, you don't have to go that far afield or even go to famous stories to think of things that are excellent or worthy of praise. You can think of the bravery and dedication of healthcare staff and carers. Think of people locally delivering food and medicines to the vulnerable. I won't forget from this year the example of brothers and sisters in our own congregations supporting those who have been suffering, grieving, and lonely. You really won't need to go far or think far to find examples of your own that are honourable and pure and worthy of praise. In short, as bad a year as 2020 has been, it has provided all of us with examples of how valuable it is to be alive and how we can use the gift of life to show charity to our neighbours and to grow as human beings and disciples of Christ ourselves. The new year is a time to bless the God who gave us life, that we are indeed alive, and to bless our Lord Jesus Christ, that our life is made new in him. And so, I would like to finish with one of my favourite prayers from the old prayer book. This is the general thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
Truth you now bring us, shine on.
En tad, hanoit yn y nefoedd, sancti ydy'r dy enw. Deled y dernas, gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef ychli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyr o'n i heddiw ein bad y beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni broddedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg. Gan i seith o tŷ o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. At the beginning of this year, I'm sure we were all looking forward to 2021, with the very real hope that a vaccine would enable us to return to normality after a year of lockdowns, separations, and the loss of loved ones. In reality, we are now facing a new and more infectious variant of the virus, which has meant a return to lockdown. And in the last few days, we have watched the events unfold in Washington, D.C., with shock and disbelief. We have seen democracy threatened by the president himself and his far-right followers. In these uncertain and unsettling times, when I'm feeling lost, there is a prayer I return to which brings me both comfort and reassurance. The prayer was written by Thomas Merton, a Trappist monk. Merton was born in France in 1915. He was educated in France, England, and the US. He was christened into the Anglican Church, but converted to Catholicism and eventually entered a monastic community in Kentucky. He wrote over 50 books on spirituality, prayer, and social justice. He died in 1968. In 2015, Pope Francis described him as a man of prayer. Merton's prayer is included in your service sheet. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that, if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Lord, in a confusing world where truth is often difficult to discern, may it be your words to which we turn. Be our confidence within uncertainty. Your words, our peace. Your truth, our reality. In your name, amen. Lord, we trust in you and in your power to save. You are our strength in times of weakness, our hope in times of darkness. We ask you to bless all our loved ones and keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, my Father.
Let us pray. Lord of all time and eternity, you opened the heavens and revealed yourself as Father in the baptism of Jesus, your beloved Son. By the power of your Spirit, complete the heavenly work of our rebirth through the waters of the new creation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine in our hearts and fill our lives with his joy and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon us and remain with us this day and always. Amen.